The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
And ACC are expected to formally announce their new alliance. It remains to be seen whether this alliance will just cover scheduling or much more. The discussions lately have been focused on football and men's and women's basketball. Two more NFL preseason games tonight, Chiefs and Cardinals in Glendale, Bengals and Washington in Landover. Tomorrow, the Bears host the Bills at Soldier Field. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler believes Andy Dalton will start the season as the number one QB over Justin Fields for Chicago.
This is their plan all along. They felt like Fields is going to be a process. He's getting better command of the offense every day, but it is Andy Dalton's job. And I think week one against a good Rams defense and a bad offensive line for the Bears, that they're just going to let Andy take those reps. Here you go. You can have those.
Jeremy Fowler on KJ and Z. The Braves signed catcher Travis d'Arnaud to a two-year, $16 million contract extension. He's missed 86 games so far this season with a sprained left thumb. Texas A&M basketball coach Buzz Williams gets a two-game suspension from the NCAA for recruiting and practice violations during the COVID-19 restrictions last year. The program will also lose five recruiting visits this season.
This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, indeed, it is Courtney Cronin, Joe Fortenbaugh, sitting in for Max Kellerman on this lovely Friday afternoon. You can hear us on ESPN Radio, streaming on ESPN Plus, and also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Preseason week two already underway. A 35-0 beatdown for the New England Patriots. Cam Newton very much still, Joe, in this quarterback race. Had a statement performance on Thursday. 8-9, 103 yards with one touch, no interception over three drives. He looks as comfortable as he has been as a New England Patriots, and that's exactly what Keyshawn Johnson from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin thought he was going to be going into the season. Take a listen.
Based on the efficiency, the methodical drives, just how things are in sync, I'm watching how deep he's getting back after the snap of the ball, setting his feet. Mm-hmm. They're setting a nice cavity for him to slide up in the pocket. All of those sort of things are extremely important when you're evaluating a quarterback. You go back to last year, you're looking at something that's totally different.
He was under duress a ton.
And people's mind will take them there. I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday as we were watching the game about why he looks so different. Second time around in this offense. Last year, it's just, that wasn't even their offense, really. They started off trying to run their offense, mm-hmm. and then they completely threw that book in the trash and started off with something different to get the wins that they got. So, he's doing exactly what I expected him to do.
Cam Newton starting to look like the guy that many of us thought he could be in year two in New England. It's Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN Plus. We already talked about Mac Jones pushing Cam Newton and vice versa and what that quarterback competition is for New England. But on the other side of the ball, somebody who had one of the best practices of the week in these joint practices between New England and Philadelphia was Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts. Now, Joe, we didn't see him play on Thursday night. He was taken to the hospital for precautionary reasons. Coach Nick Sirianni said it was due to abdominal pain. But this brings up kind of the bigger question. Remember a couple of weeks ago where the head coach said, well, I'm not naming a starter here, and it felt very obvious that Jalen Hurts was and will be the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles this season. But for whatever reason, Sirianni said, nope, I'm not going to do it just yet. He's got to earn the job, and you can somewhat respect that. But then again, you see what happened last night in that preseason game where they weren't even able to score a touchdown. Joe Flacco, the backup quarterback right now, 10 of 17, 83 yards, and an interception. Nick Mullins, I forgot he was still playing in the NFL. He is currently the backup quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. He threw 10 passes, completed five of them for 27 yards and an interception. They pulled their offensive line when they knew that Hurts wasn't going to be able to go. So, of course, you don't really get a true look at where this offense stands because you'd be basing it off of backups. But to me, I think just in the absence of Hurts, you learned where this offense stands in that he needs to be your starting quarterback. To me, Joe, it's not up for debate at all.
Well, it's not just that. He needs the reps, too. This team is a mess right now. They really are. And if you don't want to name Jalen Hurts the starter when everyone knows that he's going to be the starter, you have to assume there's some sort of head game there, right? Like, we want the kid to go out and earn it, so we're not just going to hand it to him. I can understand that. Sirianni's in his first year as a head coach, so he probably wants to take the kid all the way through the process before he says, all right, you have now earned this under my watch. You are the starting quarterback. So I can get that. But the problem for Philadelphia isn't so much the game between whether or not he's going to start and when it's going to be announced. It's the fact that Jalen Reagor at wide receiver is in his second year. He and Hurts need to build a rapport. He missed several games last season due to injury. Devontae Smith is a rookie, and he needs to build a rapport with Jalen Hurts. If these guys want to hit the ground running, they have got to be on the field together. And it's not to blame anyone for getting sick, but these reps are precious. Remember, everyone wanted to scale back the preseason, so we're down to 3 games instead of 4, and you just missed game number 2 and took minimal reps in game number 1. And the Eagles really don't have a viable quarterback depth chart because you know what you've got in Joe Flacco. 13 years, 6,066 passing attempts. Nothing's changing on that front, Courtney. You know what you have in Nick Mullins? 3 seasons, 16 starts in San Francisco, largely awful quarterback play. He's a number 3 at best. So the Eagles need these reps, and they need him as soon as possible. I don't necessarily agree with yanking all of the starters out. Last night on the offensive line, when they found out Hurts wasn't going to play, those guys could use the reps. They could all use the reps. This is not the Kansas City Chiefs. This is not the Buffalo Bills. This is the team predicted by many to finish dead last in the NFC East.
Yeah, that was Jason Kelce, Brandon Brooks, and Lane Johnson, who are all held out once we get the news of Jalen Hurts not being able to go in preseason game 2. And the limited reps that he had in week 1 of the preseason, we didn't really learn all that much from that. I believe he was 3 of 7, 54 yards in the preseason opener last week against the Steelers. You know, he's getting most of the reps in practice, and there is something to that, especially in these joint practices, where all of the reports that came out of Philadelphia this past week was that that Monday practice, and I know I'm dating myself back to like 4 or 5 days ago, and a lot can change in that time, but he was the best quarterback of the 3 that we're actually talking about, and Mac Jones and Cam Newton are the other 2 a part of that equation. But, you know, I get holding off on naming a starter to a degree, but at this point, you need to be able to get him as many reps as possible going forward. You've got one more of these games, and I don't want to see him be noncommittal to whether he's going to play at all in that 3rd preseason game, because you're going to throw him out week 1, not having seen much of him at all. Like, that's going to be a disaster. And I think that we have learned, you know, with this Philadelphia offense, I mean, remember how much like uncertainty, and I guess there still kind of is this uncertainty, is Zach Ertz going to be there? Is he not going to be there? This is an offense that, you know, at least the tight end position as of right now, they look like they've got depth there. But, you know, think about their wide receiver situation. You know, Devontae Smith having to come along a little slowly early on in training camp, and then, you know, being able to kind of, you know, take the training wheels off and let him go. Jalen Reagor, Greg Ward. I mean, these are a group of playmakers that, you know, you're not wowed instantly, of course. Heisman Trophy winner and Devontae Smith, that's, you know, their marquee pick. Yes, excited about that one. But everything else here, I just feel like they might not have the firepower to be able to support someone like Jalen Hurts, because we really even haven't seen him in a situation where he's been able to capitalize on that. That, to me, worries me. I mean, I'm not entirely worried about the defense that they have in Philadelphia nearly as much as I look at the outlook for this offense.
They've certainly given him an opportunity to have the arsenal he should need. I mean, first-round picks in each of the last 2 years on wide receivers in Reagor and Smith. Zach Ertz is a big-money tight end. We've seen what he's capable of doing. One of the issues, though, with the lack of reps is what you saw last night with Devontae Smith down on the goal line. I believe it was on that 4th down. Roasting, absolutely roasting the opposing cornerback. But Flacco was so slow getting the ball out that they had no chance of completing the pass. Smith looked good last night, but Flacco and Mullins, I think it was actually just Flacco, and Smith was out of the game at that point, couldn't get the ball to him. They're just, the chemistry wasn't there. And Philadelphia's going to open the season at Atlanta. Say what you want. Atlanta's not going to be a world beater, but they should be good. Remember, new head coach Arthur Smith was the offensive coordinator in Tennessee who completely turned around Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, everything they had going on with the Titans. That's going to be a tough road game to open the season when you're going against Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley, and top 5 tight end Kyle Pitts, who they just drafted out of Florida. That's going to be a good offense. Week two, you're going to host San Francisco. That's a legit unit coming to town. That's a good defense with a savvy offense and a good head coach. And then in week three, you get the big Monday night showdown at Dallas. And then, oh, by the way, it's a short week, 6 days to get ready for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs who are coming to town. 0-4 is staring you in the face. You have got to get on the same page as quick as possible with that offense, or the Eagles season's going down the toilet before we get to October.
Real quick, Devontae Smith, 2 catches for 19 yards on 4 targets in 1 half of work. It's probably more important than the stat line itself that he was actually able to get out there in his preseason debut, because he's been held back by that left MCL sprain, kept him out of practice for 2 weeks. Let's head out to the Goodyear Hotline, where our good friend ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark joins us to talk a little bit about the quarterback battle on the other side of this game. Cam versus Mac, Mac versus Cam. Who you got, Ryan?
Right now I have Cam because of the way things started. You know, things started with Cam Newton being QB1, and I don't necessarily know that he's done anything to lose it or that Mac Jones has done anything to take that position from Cam Newton. But that's saying that these things are even, that they're not looking at draft status, they're not looking at contracts, they're not looking at who's the future of the franchise. And you watch Cam Newton play last night, it's the best he's looked since Seattle week two last year, and that was prior to him being tested positive for COVID. And so if he can be accurate that way, if he can manipulate the pocket in that way, and also go through his progressions the way we saw him do last night, although, albeit against backups for the Philadelphia Eagles, I think this team could be good. They're good on defense. They're going to have a great run game. They're going to protect. And if you can do all those things, and Cam Newton can allow you to win, compete to win the AFC East, compete to be in the playoffs, I don't necessarily think you have to rush Mac Jones into the starting lineup.
All right, so let's work our way west to Chicago, where Andy Dalton's on a one-year, $10 million deal. Currently looks like he's the starter, but Justin Fields, the first-round pick out of Ohio State, turned some heads in that opening preseason game against Miami. If you're Matt Nagy and the Chicago Bears, how would you handle this quarterback situation?
I'm not really sure why we're having the conversation. If I'm Matt Nagy and I understand that I needed to draft Justin Fields because, well, the quarterback I had before wasn't very good, and then I had to go out and get a bridge quarterback in Andy Dalton, I want Justin Fields to start as soon as he's ready. When I look at this situation to me is much like the Matt Flynn, Russell Wilson situation. Matt Flynn at the time was a solid quarterback coming from backing up in Green Bay, but he wasn't great. And Russell Wilson comes into the preseason and outplays him. Russell Wilson shows that he has a stronger arm, that he's more athletic. And they understand that playing Russell Wilson early gave them a better chance to win than playing Matt Flynn just because you gave him a contract, just because he's there, just because some people in the organization might trust him. And for me, if I'm Matt Nagy, if Justin Fields plays well, if he shows promise, if we progress him throughout the season, if our team is competitive, that's the way to show that my job should be intact, that I should be the coach going forward. Playing with Andy Dalton, missing the playoffs, having another defensive year wasted is not the way to show the Chicago Bears organization that you should continue being the head coach.
Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us via the Goodyear Hotline here on the Max Kellerman Show. Courtney Cronin, Joe Fortenbaugh sitting in for Max on this Friday afternoon. Few things make me want to tear my weave out more than uncertainty on position battles that should not have any uncertainty. As if on cue, after Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator in Jacksonville, said that Trevor Lawrence would probably start Saturday against the Saints in the preseason opener, he's out there with the twos, running the second team offense. His debut was whatever. I mean, he got sacked. The offensive line is what it is in Jacksonville. But do you think that some of this comes down to coaching? Because I don't really like the way that they're handling this with the guy that they drafted number one overall to be your franchise quarterback, and just the way that they've been handling it through the preseason.
Well, what I'll say is I'm excited that you just tear your weave out, not your actual hair. We don't want any injuries or things like that happening. I think when you look at it, and the holistic handling of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they've had some press conferences with Urban Meyer, he's adjusting to pro football. He's adjusting to coaching pro football. This is a guy who's been a lifelong college head coach, and a dang good one, by the way. But this started with the draft. There isn't a player that was drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars or picked up as a free agent that wasn't a 4- or 5-star high school recruit, right? That's that Ohio State, Florida mindset. We want the highest level athlete. And so now in dealing with, you know, in dealing with preseason, Urban Meyer was wondering, why don't we call the good plays? And so I think everything in Jacksonville is kind of a work in progress. And so the other thing is, Gardner Minshew has been a good starter. If you did a side-by-side of two blank faces and you put up Gardner Minshew stats and Baker Mayfield stats, the thing is, you could pick either one of them and they could be either one of those guys because their stats are basically exactly the same. And right now, we're talking about whether or not Baker Mayfield is going to get a huge contract after this season. So I can understand the hesitation when you think you have a guy that can play, but isn't Trevor Lawrence supposed to be like a transcendent talent? Aren't we hearing words like, I mean, names like Andrew Luck and names like
Peyton
Manning?
That's what we were told.
And I mean, that's what I mean, I don't agree with that, but that's what the people say. And so if the people say that, and that's what you feel, and that's why you drafted him at that point, what confusion should there be? You play him, you get him ready, he's your franchise guy for the next decade and a half, and there's no reason to wait to give him his opportunity.
Ryan, in the Bay Area, there's a lot of excitement about Trey Lance eventually taking over at quarterback for the 49ers. But 2 years ago, Jimmy Garoppolo, who is still on the roster, did help guide this team to a Super Bowl appearance against the Kansas City Chiefs. So what do you think Kyle Shanahan's thinking right now as to how to handle this? He says it's Garoppolo's job, but how long do you think he's going to ride with him?
I think it's Garoppolo's job as long as they're winning. And I wouldn't have said that necessarily before the first time I watched Trey Lance, but you know, we saw a ton of the huge play on the crossfield throwback, right, on the boot. And it was a very good throw. I mean, it fluttered a little bit, but it was fine. But he was very inefficient throughout that game. He missed some open completions. He held the ball in the pocket a little bit too long. He looked like a dude who had only played one game in over a year. He looked like a guy who had the least amount of passes thrown or the least amount of opportunity to play of the top four quarterbacks that were drafted. He looked like a dude who didn't necessarily play against great competition in college. And right away, I say that that dude, when you just name all those things, ain't better than Jimmy Garoppolo right now. And so as much as I was pushing for Trey Lance to play when he was drafted, because I was listening to Adam Schefter too, that he was brilliant and he's all these things. Quincy Avery, his quarterback trainer, loves him as well. I believe in Quincy. But Trey's not ready right now. And this is a team that could be really good, great coach, great run game, very good defense. And I don't think you play Trey Lance until he's ready. And I thought they were full of crap when they said maybe 2022, 2023, but who knows now.
Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us here on the Max Kellerman Show. Quarterback we haven't broached yet today, Zach Wilson, when he's not fanboying over Aaron Rodgers during these joint practices, he's earning some pretty high marks from his teammates. And obviously, they need some good news right now. Losing Carl Lawson to ruptured Achilles was really, really tough, I think, for this defense. But when you look at the flip side of that offensively, he looked pretty, and you know, he, meaning Zach Wilson, looked pretty efficient in that opener. What do you anticipate wanting to see from him to know you'd be comfortable, obviously, moving forward with him? He's a presumptive starter. But what does he need to show in this preseason game two against Green Bay?
You know, I liked what I saw from Zach Wilson in the first game. I also liked what I saw from the New York Jets. This is a team that was run first while Zach Wilson was in the game. They opened the game. The first pass was a boot. He was extremely smart in third down situations to go to Corey Davis, the new acquisition in free agency. He looked poised. The ball came out with velocity. He was efficient in his dropbacks. And so I think what Zach Wilson did was good, right? Because all we talked about leading up until the draft was like the crazy throws he can make. And then he does the roll to the left, throw back across the field to the right of his pro day. And we're like, oh, he's so awesome. And then he's like, oh, look how white his teeth are and his hair. And he wears a hairband. Yay, we love Zach Wilson. But it was so much less flash in the first preseason game. And it was so much – it looked professional, right? It looked the part. It's what you need to settle down an organization like the New York Jets. I want to see more of that. And then if the opportunity presents itself, let's see some of that cute stuff. Let's see some of that pretty stuff. Let's see some of the things that got you drafted second overall and had people stupidly mentioning names like Mahomes and Rodgers when you were being talked about in the draft. But for him – it's about doing the little things very well first and then that moves into the big things. I want to see him continue to do the small things well.
And we will get a chance to see that this weekend. Jets in Green Bay, a Saturday, 4:25 p.m. Eastern kickoff in preseason week two. Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us here on the Max Kellerman Show. Ryan, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and protect that weave, okay?
I'm going to keep it. I'm able to keep my hair up for as long as I can, and hopefully the folks in Jacksonville don't drive me to the point of insanity. Now, we were talking about Cam Newton earlier in the show, 8 of 9, 103 yards, one touchdown. Cam was in the zone last night against the Eagles. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. Coming up next on No Doubt is John Gruden on the hot seat. We will discuss, but first, did you know the arrow in Amazon's logo represents A to Z? Maybe the My Computer Career logo should represent unemployed to employed. Ryan was out of work when he started classes in March. In September, he started his IT career working for Amazon, making more money than he ever thought possible. Here's a prime opportunity. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. More coming up next. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, and streaming on ESPN+.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Welcome back to the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Also available to you on Sirius XM Channel 80. Courtney Cronin, Joe Fortenbaugh sitting in for Max Kellerman. 888-SAY-ESPN is the number to reach us. 888-729-3776. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com.
Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
All right, we call this segment No Doubt. Raj, our producer, has got a couple topics he wants us to go over. Let us know if you agree with them or disagree with them. Raj, what do you got?
All right, first of all, we got a birthday in the house, people. Usain Bolt turns 34 tomorrow. Hey, you heard the rumors, and I'm going back and forth. You got Usain Bolt over Tyreek Hill in the race?
Oh, absolutely.
No,
I mean,
yeah.
Tyreek Hill specializes in the 40-yard dash, right? Usain Bolt specializes in the 100-yard dash. So I don't think there's really any competition here. I think it's a novelty. And I saw the interview that Usain Bolt had on Dan Patrick's show where he was talking about, you know, putting his Olympic medal on the line versus Tyreek Hill's Super Bowl ring. I think if Tyreek Hill, you know, accepts this challenge, he's going to get smoked in this race. What about you, Joe?
No doubt. No doubt. First of all, if Bolt's willing to put up a gold medal against Hill's Super Bowl ring, you got to realize something. That's a smart move by Bolt. He's got a bunch of gold medals. Tyreek Hill's only got one Super Bowl ring. So you got to be real careful there, son, if you're going to get mixed up with a guy who's got some gold to hand out, some gold to spare. Go back and watch Usain Bolt. One thing you learn in the gambling business like I'm in, Daily Wager, ESPN2, 6 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, shameless plug, is that you never bet against a guy like Usain Bolt. Against the best in the world, you would watch him just pull away in the final 50 meters. It was incredible the way that guy could run. Tyreek Hill's fast. Usain Bolt's on another level.
All right. No love for the cheetah. Hey, a little something for Raider Nation always listening. But, hey, John Gruden is officially on the hot seat.
I know that there was some reporting that came out that said he's not entering year five, but he's 19-29. To start his Raiders career. And I think back to like what that roster was the second he came in, and then he just blew it up and sent star defensive end outside linebacker Khalil Mack to Chicago. All the changes that they made to their offensive line over the last year. They're still rolling with Derek Carr at quarterback, yet the results have not panned out here for the Las Vegas Raiders. So in spite of ownership, Mark Davis apparently saying that he's not on the hot seat, and maybe that's what you sign up for when you give somebody a 10-year contract, I still can't buy it. I think that there is a very big pressure for the Raiders to win this year in year five of John Gruden.
I'm going with nah, he's not on the hot seat. See, here's the thing. This question all comes down to the wording. If you asked, should John Gruden be on the hot seat? Yes, 100% John Gruden should be on the hot seat. When you get a 10-year, $100 million contract, people expect results. Remember, that Raider team he took over went 12-4 and went to the playoffs 2 years before his arrival. He blew everything up so he could start at ground zero, fine. But in 3 years, like you said, Courtney, he's 19-29. And not just 19-29, he presides over a team that routinely falls apart late in the season. 2 years ago, they started 6-4 and they closed 1-5. Last year, they started 6-3 and they closed 2-5. They cannot finish the season. That's a problem. He's got to make adjustments. So should John Gruden be on the hot seat? Absolutely. He has not delivered on that contract. Will he be on the hot seat? No. He signed a 10-year contract, and Mark Davis isn't going to want to go looking for another head coach, especially having to buy out the remainder of that deal.
All right. Hey, earlier we heard from Cowboys Hall of Famer Drew Pearson on Dak, but I'll ask you guys, hey, Dak should play this preseason.
I'm a firm believer that he should, and this is usually no not doubt. Where I stand on. I'm going to get that right at some point. I'm promising. I will pause
okay.
the next
Max
time
is
I
still,
say
Max is
no
still
doubt.
Working on it. Max gets it wrong every day, but go ahead.
I'm usually a firm believer, and I use Cam Newton as an example for this, where he got hurt in the preseason with Carolina and, you know, injured his foot, and that was kind of the downfall of his career there. I think that some starters should not play in the preseason, but those coming off of injury should absolutely get out there and get live reps. Like, I know we're talking so much about the shoulder and the injury that he sustained during the during like a practice, but let's not forget he's got a twice surgically repaired ankle. You need pass rushers at whatever speed they're going from other teams around your ankle to get comfortable stepping up in the pocket to make throws. So he's not dealing with just like the throwing, like the, you know, his throwing shoulder and that injury. He's dealing with something that apparently we all forgot about, Joe, because that is still a very big deal. How is that ankle going to hold up? How are you not going to be gun shy stepping up in the pocket, trying to dance around pass rushers, moving on the run, knowing that that ankle is going to be sturdy for you? Like, I want to see him play in the preseason for that very reason, even though Mike McCarthy right now is saying that he's not being very committal to whether he'll play in the preseason or not.
Pass. Absolute pass on this one. See, there's the timing. We got it right there at the end, right at the bottom. I was like, I'm waiting on this thing no matter what. I don't care if there's radio silence for 5.5 minutes. Here's the thing. As Prescott goes, so goes the Cowboys, all right? They don't have the coaching to stack up with the best coaches in the NFL. I'm sorry, but Mike McCarthy just doesn't get it when it comes to crucial game management situations late in games. They don't have the defense to stack up with the elite units in the NFL. They'll be better this year, but that's not saying much considering they were one of the 5 worst defenses in the National Football League last year. They need Prescott, and if they risk any sort of injury, especially with a lat strain, which is something that's going to be nagging him all season long, the entire season is going to be lost because they do not have the necessary depth to win games without Prescott. You spent a lot of money on this guy. He's coming back from injury. Wait until he's healthy. And if he's not 100%, then he's going to get thrown to the Wolves in week 1 against Tampa Bay in a game you're going to lose anyway. Lay the points with the Buccaneers in that game, by the way. But for right now, I wouldn't rush him back because there's too much at stake here for the Cowboys season.
Sounds like he will be available for that season opener September 9th against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But live action for Dak Prescott in the preseason appears to be growing dimmer and dimmer. That was no doubt here on the Max Kellerman Show, which is presented by Progressive Insurance. We hear why LeBron took to Twitter this time. But first, DoorDash here with Summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the DoorDash app. And stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply. More coming up next. ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
LeBron James has a message, and it's very simple. Thank you. More on that in a minute. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN Plus. You can also hear us on Sirius XM Channel 80. Courtney Cronin, Joe Fortenbaugh sitting in for Max Kellerman on this Friday night. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Joe, I know we haven't really talked much baseball here on the Max Kellerman Show. You're on Daily Wager. Do you have any prop bets or any bets for tonight that we should be looking at?
I'm glad you asked, Courtney. I've got one for you tonight if you like to dabble in that sort of thing. We're going to go to the Yankees-Twins game. The over-under in this game, also known as the total, is 10.5 runs. That number feels a bit high. I would play the under of 10.5. 12 runs were scored in this matchup yesterday when these two got together. And I think as a result, this number's a bit inflated. It gives us an opportunity to find some value going in the opposite direction. After all, in New York's 5 previous games before yesterday, there were only 5.5 runs per game scored. They've actually had only 9 overs hit in their last 28 games. So despite all the chatter you're hearing out of the Bronx, unders have been the play for Yankee games as of late. And with Nestor Cortez on the mound, he of the 2.55 ERA, which drops to 1.45 when he's pitching at Yankee Stadium, I'd go under 10.5 runs between the Twins and the Yanks tonight.
Well, I know you say that, take the under on that. I am in Minnesota for full disclosure here, so I dabble a little bit with the Minnesota Twins. It feels like all this team can do, the only thing they can do, is either hit home runs or strike out. So I appreciate the betting advice. This one hits a little close to home for those of us up here in the Twin Cities. The Sunday Night Baseball Preview is brought to you by Samsung Galaxy. You won't be able to go back to mediocre after this. Are you ready for this life? Find out at Samsung.com/reserve. Okay, so LeBron James took to Twitter after ESPN's Tim Bontemps, who covers the NBA, did an off-season survey with 10 execs, coaches, exec scouts on the biggest deals, biggest, best players, favorites to win the 2022 title. And the two players that came up for the NBA's best player, it was a split even tie between Giannis Antetokounmpo, he had 5 votes, and Kevin Durant, who also had 5 votes. And LeBron did not receive any votes there. And the tweet that I read you verbatim says, "Thank you," in all caps, as if I didn't need more to, is that fuel? I believe it's a fuel emoji. Fuel me, hashtag washed king emoji. So I love these things, A, because someone who covers a team in the NFL, the Minnesota Vikings, I love when players are like, "Oh, I don't read anything. I'm not on social media. I don't see any of that stuff." This confirms that the athletes are reading what you are putting out there. So that alone, I think, is great in its own right. But I don't know. Do you think LeBron has any sort of case to be upset here that he didn't make this list? I mean, you got to think about where he was in the postseason out after the first round and what Giannis did, leading his team to an NBA championship, their first in their first appearance since 1974. And also, you know, everything that Kevin Durant did in coming back from the Achilles injury looked like the best version of himself. And it makes me excited to see what he can be in 2022. I don't think this is unfair.
He doesn't have any gripe. If anything, he should be flattered. But James can't get that sort of thing through his head because he can't see the bigger picture. Let me ask you something, Courtney. Who's the best coach in the National Football League?
Bill Belichick.
All right, you would go with Bill Belichick. I would say Bill Belichick. A lot of people would say Bill Belichick. Maybe some would not. But let's just look at it like this. If it's Belichick, do you know the last time he was named Coach of the Year?
Not offhand, no.
2010. A guy who's going to go down as a 6-time Super Bowl champion if he never wins another Super Bowl as a head coach, hasn't been named Coach of the Year in over 10 seasons. Do you know why that is? Because it's so obvious how great he is, and because we are such prisoners of the moment that Belichick never gets any consideration because we expect it from him. That's the same thing with James. He's either the greatest or the second greatest basketball player of all time. All right? We are so used to it. We are so conditioned of it. And we are such prisoners of the moment that when it comes to talking about the best player in the game right now, we're going to reluctantly fall back to, or excitedly fall back to, what we just saw. Oh my God, Giannis was so fantastic in the finals. Well, Chris Paul surging. Things of that nature. James isn't going to get that sort of accommodation anymore because it's just old hat. He should be flattered by it, quite frankly, that people bypass him because he's so good, everyone's looking for a new flavor.
Yeah, and this happened in 2019, you'll remember. That's the year the Lakers missed the playoffs in LeBron's first season in L.A. 20 people were interviewed for this survey. He didn't receive a single vote. It's Kawhi Leonard with 12, Giannis with 6. James Harden got the other two votes there. And you know what LeBron did the following season in the bubble in Orlando? He led the Lakers to a title. So I don't know. Maybe this is a good thing if you're a Lakers fan, that he feels slightly spurned from this and that this is going to be the fuel needs. I don't think this is the fuel he needs. I think the fact that they had a first round exit last year and they just remade their roster and brought in Russell Westbrook and they have another chance to go, you know, they're a super team in their own right to go contend with the Bucks, with the Brooklyn Nets in the East for an NBA title next year. That to me is all of the that's all the fire I would need lit under me if I'm LeBron James, not a survey, which again, Tim Bontemps, wonderful reporter for NBA who covers the NBA for ESPN.com and talking to 10 execs and scouts across the league. But man, this one seemed to really irk LeBron, and he's not somebody who typically will speak out on certain things like this.
Well, think about trying to find the motivation to do what you need to do to perform at the highest possible level at that sport year in and year out, right? Like, if I won the lottery, I would spend so much time on my couch that I'd be one of those people who becomes part of their couch and needs to be surgically removed. He's got all the money, all the fame, all the success in the world with that resume. He's got to find something to drive him. These are the things that drive him, the motivation that gets him up out of bed every day to be the best in the world, stuff like this.
Certainly that, and they have a revamped roster, Russell Westbrook, surrounding them now as a big three. Joe, this is a super fun show. Hope that you and everyone else has a great weekend out there. Preseason football coming up this weekend. You've been listening to the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.